You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
How are you this morning? Are you ready to hear the Word of God? Can I hear an emphatic yes? We are here to hear the Word of God this morning. Amen. You know, this morning I want to talk about the fact that we are a people of vision and purpose. And I want to declare that over each person that's here this morning, you are a person of vision and purpose. It's who God has called you to be. I believe it, and I want to encourage you to believe it this morning as well. And before we turn to the person I want to look at this morning, I just want to let you know that vision and direction and plans, they come from God. They're not just something that we just think up at one point of the time, but they're things that God lays on our heart to see something established for the life of the people that we're ministering to. So it's not something like when you go to play mini golf with a group of children and one has a broken arm and their plan is to make sure that they're the number one person by the end of it and have the least amount of points. And I'm sure there was a bit of fudging going on with that whole system. So that's not the plan that I'm referring to. I'm referring to plans and directions and visions that come from God. And the person that I want to look at this morning is through the life of Caleb, a man who had vision and who had purpose. You know, Moses had been given a vision from God. He wanted the children of Israel to walk into the land of Canaan. He wanted the people to live in the promised land and to be free. So before that had happened, though, they had been in Egypt and they were slaves. And God just did not want that for their life. He didn't want them to be slaves. He wanted them to be free. So under the direction and the guidance of Moses, he led the people out of Egypt into the land that he wanted for them. You know, it wasn't something that Moses just woke up one morning and said, you know what, I just think this is a good idea. As we know, there was a lot of prompting and encouragement from God for him to get to that point. Yes, I've got to go and do this. You know, I've got to confront Pharaoh. There's so much that I need to do for this plan and vision to come to pass. But he decided to go with the unction and the leading of God. Like we know, it doesn't matter what we face in life. We know that there will be challenges, but you know, they were going to be led and guided and protected by God. They had seen, they had been witnesses, they had participated in God's leading for their life. So this next step of their life was actually nothing new to them. And we pick up from Numbers 13, 1 to 2, and it says this in the New King James Version. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. It was a land that God was giving them. It was actually already theirs. They had been aware of this, so this was something that wasn't new to them. And Caleb was one of the 12 men with Joshua who was sent into the Canaan to have a look around. Do you think God would send 12 men into the land to bring back a bad report? I think he sent them into the land because he wanted them to bring back such in hope and encouragement that the people would have got so excited that, yes, this is what God has for us. Let's just go ahead and do it. You know, when we needed a new church here, a new church property, when Pastor Phil and Pastor Glennis came onto this property for the first time, they just sensed in their hearts that this was the place for them. This was the place that God was leading us and directing us. Were there things that we still had to, challenges and things we had to work on? Yes, because believe it or not, this actually used to be an Italian dance place. But look at the place now. You and I are active participants and recipients of what God had planned for the life of this church. And look at where we are today, amen. A place that we don't have to move no more. A place that has so much land and potential because of God leading and guiding us. What was the report of the men? In Numbers 13, 27 to 28, it says this. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Their report was negative and it swayed the children of Israel. You know, they resorted to their same style of speech of negativity and hopelessness. They're complaining and grumbling. This is something that wasn't new to God. This was something that they had with them for a long time, this sense of always being negative, this sense of complaining and grumbling. Oh, you should have just led us to die in the wilderness. Oh, you know, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt where we were slaves? At least we had a roof over our head. This constant thing of complaining and grumbling. So many times they had the opportunity to change their mindset and believe God and His word. They had seen so many miracles. They had seen so much provision from God. But because of their way of thinking had not changed, either did their perspective or their speech. I mean, have you seen a Red Sea part on either side? Have you walked through a Red Sea and then seen the enemy behind you get drowned? Have you experienced where manna has fallen from heaven for you so that you can eat? So much provision and miracles from God, but yet they still grumbled and complained. They had the opportunity to see the land that, yes, it was flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there were cities that were large and fortified, but they had the opportunity right then to see it from the right perspective, which was God's. You know, in the natural, when we actually see, our eyes see it upside down, and then our brain actually turns the image around so that we can see something clearly. Because the front part of the eye is curved. It bends the light, creating an upside down image on the retina. The brain eventually turns the image around the right way up. You know, they could have allowed God to change their vision so that they could see it from His perspective, which was the right way. But they chose not to. And you know, I'm sure there have been times in our lives, on our journey, that we have sometimes needed God to correct our perspective on the way we see things or a situation we may be presented with or even how we view ourselves. But this morning, I want to encourage you how freeing and liberating it is when you allow God's perspective to change and impact an attitude in your life. How freeing and liberating it is. How freeing and liberating it is when you have God's perspective on a situation in your life. You may be going through something. God, I actually need to know what you want me to do in this situation. And when He gives you the answer and then you implement that in your life, how freeing and liberating to see that situation turned around. You know, I remember when I was in my early 20s. I know it feels like only 5 years ago. And I believe that God had favorites. Now, I don't know where I got that from, except for I felt like maybe there was a favorite in our family. But it affected how I saw myself, that feeling of being overlooked. But I tell you, the day that I had that revelation that God loves me no matter what and that He does not have favorites was such a liberating day, because it changed the way I saw myself. It changed the way I interacted with people. It changed the way I saw myself and what God was leading me into. This morning, it is a liberating and freeing experience when you allow God to change an attitude or a perspective in your life. Let me encourage you, we are a people of vision and purpose. It's never, ever too late to allow God to come and change the way you see things. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it for Caleb. He did it for me, and He can do it for you. But Caleb, thank goodness for Caleb. He didn't resort to that mentality. He believed God and His word. And what was his response in Numbers 13 verses 30? You can imagine the scene. You know, all the children of Israel have started to already, oh no, you know, what's going on? This is a land that's obviously got strong people living there and the cities are fortified. And so there's already this grumbling and murmuring taking place. And there is Caleb, the man of God for the hour, who stands up before all the children of Israel and boldly declares this to them. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." We can conquer. We can conquer. We can conquer because we have God working for us and on our side. because he was a man of vision and purpose. He allowed God's word to direct his path. He allowed God's word to direct his attitude. He allowed it to direct his speech and his perspective. You know, he wasn't oblivious to what was in the land. Yes, I know that there are giants. Yes, I have walked in there. I have seen them. Yes, I have know that there are fortified cities. And I also know that this will not be easy, and there will be times we may feel overwhelmed. But I want to also encourage you, nevertheless, I know who my God is. Nevertheless, I know that we can do it. Nevertheless, my God is for us. Who can be against us? Nevertheless, we are strong and courageous and full of the power of God. Yes, there is this. But let me say, there is always that word, nevertheless. Here is who we are in Christ Jesus, who we are seated in heavenly places. Jesus is interceding for us. We have the power of the Holy Ghost in us. Lord God, we can do it. We can conquer because we, like Caleb, are a people of vision and purpose. Do you believe it this morning? Amen. But unfortunately, as we know the story, the negative report swayed the children of Israel. So they didn't go into the land, but instead stayed in the wilderness. But what was God's response to Caleb? In Numbers 14, verses 24, it says this: "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Imagine God saying that about you. You know, you are a person that has followed me fully. You are a person that has a different spirit. And you know what? I declare that over each person in this place, because we are a people of vision and purpose this morning. And we can do it. So now we pick up the story in Joshua. And after 45 years of wandering and being in the desert, they are now in the promised land. Caleb now asks for the land that God had shown him all those years ago. During all those times of wandering, when he'd seen the land, he now comes to Joshua and says this in Joshua 14, verses 7 to 13. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. You know, Caleb never, ever lost sight of the vision and purpose that God had for him. The God-given vision had kept him alive and full of purpose, had kept him youthfully fit and full of courage and resolve. He was still as strong as an 85-year-old man. For him, age didn't mean anything because he still trusted God and knew what God had wanted for his life. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. He was completely committed and reliant on God and who he was in his life. For 40 years, he'd been with the children of Israel who had grumbled and complained and wavered in their belief. How did he stay strong in his belief? You know what? I'm sure it was his morning coffee that got him through the day. You know, this morning, I believe one of the things about the life of Caleb was he never allowed his perspective to change. He knew in God he could do it. This morning, I want to encourage you to never allow your perspective to change, because I know that you can do it. I know that we are a people of vision and purpose, and we can most certainly do it. He never allowed the voice of the people, the complaining and the grumbling, to supersede the voice of God. And aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you glad that he never allowed that to impact his life and his heart, but he always turned to what God was saying to him? And he knew the voice of God over the grumbling and complaining. You know, sometimes when we hear grumbling and complaining, it's easy to hear, that's all we hear, that static noise going on in our heads, going on in our minds. That's all we can tune into. But this morning, I want to encourage you, there is a voice that is greater, that you can lead you, that can guide you, that can bring you into all truth, and is the voice of God. And that's what I want us to hear over any negativity, over any complaining, over any hopelessness. We are not called to be hopeless. We are not called to be defeated. We are called to have life and life to the full. And I want to encourage you this morning to be a people that allow the voice of God to supersede anything that you may hear in your daily walk. If you happen to come to a Monday and someone grumbles and complains to you, you know what? You can say to them, you know what? I'm going to allow the voice of God to supersede what you're saying right now, because I'm a man of purpose, or a woman and a man of vision and purpose. If you get to Wednesday and you hear someone saying, oh, this situation is hopeless, you can say, you know what? I'm going to see what the Word of God says about this, because I want the voice of God to supersede what this situation of hopelessness is. Because I am a person of vision and purpose, and you are as well. When you get to Saturday and you hear your wife saying something, or your husband saying something, you can say to them, you know what? I know what the truth of God's Word is, and I know what God would say in this situation. Let's join together and let's declare the goodness of God in our hearts, in our lives, in our family, and whatever it is you may be going through, whatever situation you may be facing right now, let the voice of the Holy Spirit supersede the static and the negativity and the hopelessness and the defeatistness. It's not for you this morning, because we are a people of vision and purpose. Amen. 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 That's who we're called to be. People of vision and purpose. And yes, I do get a little bit excited. Amen. You know why? Because I believe it. I believe it. We can do it. God is a good God, and we can do it. And we can do the same. Caleb never lost sight of his destiny. He knew his inheritance wasn't the wilderness. It was the land that God had promised him. He had an unshakable belief he would possess his inheritance. You know, no matter how long it would take him, no matter what obstacles he had to overcome, no matter what tried to block him, he knew, because he had such an unshakable belief, that God had the right place and the inheritance for him. And he knew he would possess his inheritance. Just stop and think about it for a minute. 40 years of hearing the people around you grumble and complain. We should have just stayed in Egypt. Why didn't God just let us stay in Egypt and die? Can you imagine hearing that over and over and over again? That was an obstacle. That was something trying to block him. But you know what, this morning, I am so glad that he knew that he would possess his inheritance. And let me encourage you, if you've ever had to listen to grumbling, complaining, you're in good company. But let me also encourage you to rise above it and believe this morning that the inheritance is for you and that you can possess it in the name of Jesus. Because you know why? Caleb knew what it looked like. He'd been into the promised land as a spy. He'd brought back the fruit and tasted it. He'd smelt the fruit. Yes, he'd seen the fortified cities, but he knew exactly what it looked like. And that's why there was such an unshakable thing in his spirit that said, I know what it looks like. I know what it tastes like. I know what it smells like. And let me tell you right now, it is for me. And let me encourage you, there have been many people in the church right now, and you've experienced things either as a child. You've experienced things either as a teenager. You've experienced things either as a young adult. And God is saying, I want you to remind you this morning of those things, because that's what's been placed in your spirit, because that's what he wants you to inherit. There's been people in here that have seen the supernatural power of God from a young child or from a young age. And they've said, God, I want to see that. You know why you cry out for that? Because it's in your spirit to possess, because it's your inheritance. If there's people in here that know that they need to see breakthrough in their hearts and their lives, and they've seen breakthrough from a young age, they've seen breakthrough as a young adult, it's because it's in your spirit. It's because God is saying, I have given it to you as inheritance to be a woman and a man of breakthrough. If you have experienced freedom in your life, if you've experienced life from the Holy Ghost in your life, it's because it's in your spirit. It's because God is saying to you, I want you to possess it. Not only that, I want you to know that it's for you. You can most certainly do it. You can most certainly do it. There are people here that have seen miracles in their lives. God wants you to have such a burning desire to continue to see that, to pray for it, to cry out to God for it, because it's in your spirit to see miracles take place. It's in your spirit to see miracles and signs and wonders and healings take place. That's the God we serve. He gives you a taste of it. He lets you see it. He lets you smell it. He lets you even walk a little bit in it. But when you come out and you go through your journey of wondering and wondering and wondering, and you hear the people complaining, you hear the people mumbling, you need to let something that rises up in your spirit and says, I don't care what you're saying right now. I've tasted it. I've seen it. I've drunk of it. I've eaten of it. And it's in my spirit, because we are a people of vision and purpose this morning. Gateway, we are a people of vision and purpose. We are a people who wholeheartedly worship and serve the Lord God this morning. Am I excited? Yes, because I believe it with every fiber of my being. We are a people of a different spirit. We are a people who follow God and who wholeheartedly believe what he has said. Yes, you've tasted it, but let me tell you, there is more, 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 because that's the God that we serve. He's not static. He keeps progressing. He keeps moving. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's a God of miraculous. He's a God of miracles. He's a supernatural God, and he is calling us like never before to see these things come to pass and to see those things outworked in our hearts and our lives, because We are a people of vision and purpose this morning. Come on the journey with me. We are excited. I'm excited. I'm big Kev excited, and I'll even give you some steak knives at the end of the sermon. He knew the wilderness was not his home. He knew surviving just wasn't his home. He knew the promised land was. We may have times in the desert, but let me encourage you, we are just walking through. We are just passing through. That is not our home. That's not the time to pitch up our tent. That's not the time to resign ourselves and go, oh, well, this is all there is. No, we are just passing through to see all that God has for us. The other exciting thing about Caleb was, you ready for it? He was a giant killer. In seizing his mountain, he would also face some giants. Even though he was in his promised land, there were still things he had to face and overcome, but he knew that he could do it because he'd already done it in the years of wandering. You know what? The wilderness did not claim him. Their complaints and their grumbling did not claim him. The giant of negativity did not claim him. His past did not claim him. The giant of slavery did not claim him. And there was no way these new giants were going to claim him either. He wanted his mountain to bring glory to God. You know what? I know I can do it. And I'm going to bring glory to my God just to show you that he is who he says he is. And you know what the exciting news is this morning for you? Is that this is not an exclusive group. You know what? It's not just for David and Goliath when he killed Goliath. It's not just Caleb who killed these giants. It's for us today. We too are giant killers. We too have conquering attitudes. If you have overcome anxiety in your life, there's something that has plagued you and your default thing is anxiety, and you have overcome it because you just know that you are more than a conqueror, let me tell you this morning, you are a giant killer. if you have overcome fear that has affected your life, and you know, you may have been in a situation that's been so overwhelming and it just keeps going on and on, this circumstance that has caused you to feel fear like never before, that overwhelming fear, but then you stood up and said, you know what, I know God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power and sound mind, and that fear has dissolved in the name of Jesus, then let me encourage you, you are a giant killer. If you've overcome intimidation, if someone has come up to you and tried to intimidate you, and maybe over a period of time, and you say, God, how do I overcome this situation? What do I do? And God gives you the word to overcome that intimidation. And you do. You are a giant killer this morning. If you've changed a negative mindset to one that believes God and takes him at his word, let me encourage you, you are a giant killer. If there are areas in your life that you know you need to overcome, let me encourage you, you can most certainly do it. We can use the word of God. We can stand on the truth of who he is. Don't be anxious for anything. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out all fear. We are more than conquerors. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You might not see it straight away, but as you continue to profess those things and declare who the truth of God's word and who he is in your life, those things will come to naught, because we are called to be giant killers. And if all else fails, use the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. You might come at me with this, but let me tell you right now, I come at you with the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We are called to be giant killers in our land so that we can see those things nullified, so that we can continue on our journey in Christ. And lastly, the thing I love about Caleb was that his attitude affected generations. Caleb's trust in God and the example that his life was not only affected him, but it also impacted the life of his children. Caleb's kind of attitude affects generations. And we know that God is the God of generations and wants growth and expansion because he's so progressive. You know, his conquering attitude allowed for expansion in his life. His daughter was also bold and wanted to expand the land that she'd been given to her with springs of water. So she boldly came up to Caleb and asked for the springs of water. And Caleb gave her not only the upper, but also the lower springs. She expanded on what God had given her. Because of his conquering attitude, he was able to pass on to his daughter, and I'm sure his children and their children's children as well. And you know what the exciting thing is? We're still talking about Caleb today because he's affecting us and our generation. A man that wholeheartedly followed the Lord God. Let our attitudes affect generations. Let people take on what we've done and go further in God. Let them have upper and lower springs to supply the land that they have. Let them grow and expand because of our attitude that has been impactful and then has allowed them to expand also. In closing this morning, I just want to encourage you, like Caleb, he never allowed his perspective to change. He knew with God he could do it, and I believe the same for you this morning as well. Caleb never lost sight of his destiny. The wilderness was never his home. He knew where God had called him to. Caleb was a giant killer, and his attitude affected generations, and we still talk about him today. We too can be the same because we are a people of vision and purpose. And I just want us to stand before I hand it over to Pastor Lee. And I just want to pray for us all this morning, because I know that the Spirit of God wants to just encourage each one of us that we can most certainly do it. Every person, every family, every generation that is represented here this morning has the ability to affect generations. And I want to encourage you, we can most certainly do it. And I just want to pray for us, pray for you this morning. Lord God, we just come to you.
Isn't it so awesome that he is our victory? That in him we have strength, in him we have power. You know, what I love about this message is, you know, we are the visionaries. We celebrate that. In fact, we revel in the fact that we are the visionaries. That we get to see and hear what God wants to do in our lives. And we get to see and hear what God wants to do in the lives of people in our city. It's powerful. to be a visionary, there's one thing that we need first to be a visionary, and that's salvation through Christ. It's knowing God personally, having a relationship with Jesus. You know, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, God's heart is for you. God's heart loves you. He revels in the fact that you were born and created. You're His chosen. He loves you so much. And He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Whether you're in this room, that's for you. Whether you're watching at home right now, that's for you. If you're watching later, that's for you. God loves you. Just with everyone's eyes closed, just for a moment. If you don't know Jesus in this place, there's one thing that I can be sure of today. He wants to know you personally today. And so if that's you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart, to be forgiven of everything you've ever done wrong, to turn your life around and start following Jesus. In Romans 10 verse 9, says to us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the grave, then we'll be saved if we believe it. And that's all you need to do today. You need to believe and confess that He's Lord. And He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. So if that's you, I want to invite you to, on the count of three, to lift your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. This is your moment to know Jesus personally today. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I need to know Jesus. If you're watching this morning online, you can respond right now. So I say, yeah, that's me. I want to know Jesus personally. I want to know His forgiveness. I want to know His love personally. I want to see and know God is real in my life. If that's you this morning, just moment of response. Lift your hand up, say, yeah, that's me. This is what I want us to do this morning, church. Just with our eyes closed for a moment longer. Now, if you responded this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer. If you're at home this morning, pray this prayer along with us as well. Church, why don't we join together and pray this prayer of asking Jesus into our heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. And I thank you that you died on a cross and rose again for me. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that you are Lord, that God raised you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we are so excited for you that you prayed that prayer this morning. Whether you're in this room or watching online this morning, we celebrate and revel in the fact that you've responded to Jesus this morning. You know, on the way out this morning, if you prayed that prayer, there'll be a little booklet at the door letting you know what's next, where do I go next. Also, if you prayed the prayer in this room this morning, can I encourage you, I'll be at the front here after the service. Kate will be at the front here after the service, and we want to meet with you. We actually want to actually help you start the journey in following Jesus. If you're at home, go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information will be there for you to get in contact with us and start that journey as well. Just before we finish this morning, we've got a couple of minutes up our sleeve, and I want to use them well this morning. I believe that for each and every single one of us, according to this measure, that we are called to be visionaries, that we are visionaries. You know, there's sometimes that there's things that get in our view that stop us from seeing as God wants us to see. You know, for those individuals in that message, they saw the good things, but then they saw those other things rise up in front of them. They were obstacles that were standing in their way from seeing what God wanted them to see. this morning, if there's anything that's blocking your view, God wants to remove it. God wants to start the journey of removing it. Maybe it's something that's so big that it's like, first of all, I need the Holy Spirit to come and touch me and minister to me, and then I need to actually start the journey of actually seeing that thing removed day by day by day by day, so that I can see as God wants me to see, so that I can hear as God wants me to hear, so that you can be a person that looks at a situation and says, my glass is full of faith. There's no half glasses. There's no half full or half. We are full of faith. I'm a full of faith person. Even though I look at it, I know that God's spoken to me clearly, so I will see it as He wants me to see it. For my relationships, for my workplace, for my marriage, for me personally, because I need to love me as Jesus loved me, so that I can love others well, amen, so I can see as He wants me to see.